everyone. It's always wonderful to be here. Do you think we could make it through the service without saying coronavirus one more time? I don't know. But I don't know about you, but I'm counting my toilet paper rolls very sparingly at the moment. So it's the same everywhere. My mom said there's nothing on the shelves in Canada either. So anyways, we are all in this together. I just returned from South Africa. Don't worry, it was 2 weeks ago, so I've been in quarantine. And I had a wonderful time down there. I saw Fiona, so she brings her greetings. I'm sure, hopefully, if she can fly up here to England soon, you will all be seeing her shortly. She is meant to be here very soon. I'm starting my sabbatical today. So, yes, after the service, you will be praying for me. Yay! And I will be starting throughout the end of the year. So hopefully I'll be heading home to Canada in June for 6 weeks, but you never know at this point, so one day at a time. But the thing that's been on my heart, because this is really the last time of me sharing with you this year, although I would love to come back and visit, you know, it's not that I have to speak every time. I've been learning more and more of what it looks like to be in Christ. And you can see the diagram behind me. And I'll explain that as I get into it in a minute. But I thought that I would like to start off this morning by praying for us. And then I'm going to have Becky come up and do a reading that is quite long. So hopefully you can follow along in your Bibles. It'll be on the screen. And there's certain words that are highlighted that I want us to be paying attention to. And so we'll get Becky to come up in a minute. But Lord, thank you that you are with us this morning. We're already noticing a theme of trusting in you. Thank you that that you are with each one of us in our lives, and you know exactly where we're at. And so, Lord, I just want to pray, even as I prayed at the end of worship, that you would open our eyes to the reality of that we are in you, Jesus, and that we are in this living reality of being within Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I just ask that you would deepen that with us this morning. Literally open our eyes to things maybe that we've never seen before. Thank you that you are our teacher, Holy Spirit. And so we invite you even now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Becky.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. As for you, you were dead. Oh, it's got it. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow, there is a lot. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you were once who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you who are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Thank you, Becky. So in case you haven't figured out, this morning's message is from Ephesians 1 and 2. Okay, Ephesians 1 and 2. And so you can just put yourself back in the day of Paul. And so he's writing to the Ephesians. And he's trying to let them know, first of all, who God is and remind them who God is. Because remember, they were people that were worshiping idols, you know, the gods, the goddesses. They were living crazy sexual lives at the time. And he's talking to the Gentiles now, and he's trying to remind them of this new life that they are now in, this new story that they are now part of, okay? So he's reminding them about God, who God is, and about them and who they are and their position. Okay, and of course, the reality of their position then means that they can live differently. Okay, so I love this because Paul is kind of painting a picture for us of what it looks like to be mature people of God. Okay, so they're coming out of where they were into a different story, into a different way of living, a different way of being. And did you notice how many times it said, in Christ, in Christ? Okay, so this is who God is. This is what God has done. This is who you are. This is where you are. And this is now how you are to be living. Okay, and he'll do that throughout the whole book of Ephesians. And before I leave, I will give you homework. Just because I won't see you for the rest. I know. But it's so important because Paul, what he's doing is, I don't know how many of you have studied, you know, certain ways of when we grow, how people grow. But it's not always we grow by what we're being told, like information. but we often grow as well by how we imagine things. So, and you can even see this. Let me show a picture of this guy smoking. But advertisers know this, that often the way we imagine things often leads us into then living it out. So, for example, if you're told that, you know, if you're cool, you smoke, and the lifestyle is this amazing social group, and you can all stand outside and smoke together, and what's that? In the 60s, not now, of course. Now it's like, you definitely need to go outside, and you're not cool if you smoke. But in my generation growing up, you know, we even used to have the Popeye cigarettes and the chocolate cigarettes, and it's all fun for kids, and, you know, and the whole thing is our imagination of this lifestyle that we could have, you know. And same with if you're going to buy a car, you know, the advertisers you're watching, you know, this lifestyle that you could have if you buy this car. And not only that, but you might get that woman too, you know. You know, like, and they paint this picture because they often know the information alone does not change us. Okay, so even us sitting here today, we can be told 100 times that we are in Christ. And we go, yep, we're in Christ. Or, yes, I'm valuable. But the difference between here and knowing it here is huge, isn't it? And so what Paul's trying to get the Ephesians to do at the time is to reimagine, is to think about, to visualize this reality of what it looks like for you to be in Christ. Okay? And we're going to do some fun things in a minute. At least I think they're fun. So Paul's trying to get them to relook at who Jesus is. Okay? And relook at who they are in him. So there's a lot of scripture this morning, but what I want to paint the picture of, and I want you to begin to visualize this as well, is that when we start looking at the New Testament, we start looking at all the scriptures that talk about Christ and what is actually in him, it is fascinating. So we know from John 1:10 that he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. The world was made through him. Okay, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Son. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Okay? Whom all things for whom we exist. Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. So, you know, Colossians 1, he created all things. And in him all things are holding together. And for all things on earth and heaven and reconciled in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible. All things are in him. All things. So we were even singing about creation today. All things were created by him and for him. In Hebrews 1, but in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Okay, so let's look at the Trinity, because this is what Paul's trying to get them to repaint the picture here. Okay, so he's trying to let them know who God is. Remember, God is not distant and far off. Okay, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, it's three in one, or you could say one in three. Okay, so he's reminding them of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And remember, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are 100% relational, 100% love. Okay, and there is that relational element all the time with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, and this is who God is. He's not just a distant God out there, but he is. He's tangible, okay? The Son is not the Father. The Father is not the Son. The Spirit is not the Son. The Spirit is not the Father. Three in one, one in three, okay? Distinct, yet one, okay? And I love it. That's the mystery of the Trinity. And this is who he is saying, this is who God is. Okay, now, all the scriptures of in Christ, okay? That we're seated with him. We just read all of that, okay? And we're going to see this in a minute. But see, we're not in the middle of the Trinity. We're actually in Christ, okay? Now, just hold this for a minute because we're going to do a visual. Okay, now why is this important? I think it's important because many of us have visualized throughout the year. Okay, now if I can get, let's see, was it Harrison, Tim, and Jill, if you three can come, please, and be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for me. Okay, now would you like to be the Father? Okay, it does. All right, you could be the Spirit, right? Okay, and over here. So just kind of make yourself like a little tripod here. Okay, now you at the top. Not that there's a hierarchy, but here we go. You down here. Good. I'm purposely not touching you. We're not supposed to touch each other. It's all good. You come over here. Okay, now, many times this is how we visualize ourselves. Here I am. Here's God. Okay? Now, here's Leah. Now, if I want something, I often go, Jesus, would you please give me peace today? Okay, now this is not our reality. But this is how we usually visualize our relationship with God, kind of far off. Okay, this is our reality. Jesus, I'm realizing that I would like peace today. He is the Prince of Peace. This is the reality of where I'm actually, I am. I am in Christ. Do you see a huge difference between this, far off, I need a gift of peace, and he's going, oh my gosh, you already have the gift of peace. I am peace. I am your peace. And this is where I am. This is, you know, and I would link with you and hug you and, you know, I'm in Christ, right? Yeah, so this is our reality. Okay, can you stay standing here for a minute? Okay, now, Becky is going to come up and tell a story that she was telling me about her nephew, okay? So if you guys can stand there. And just think about this story in light of what we're talking about right now.
So my brother told me about the first time he took my nephew to the cinema. So this happened when my nephew was about 3 or 4. My brother took him to see Peter Rabbit. This was a few years ago. So he'd never been to the cinema before. He was watching the film. Of course, you've got the surround sounds and everything. And in the middle of the film, I haven't seen it, but there's a chase scene where Peter Rabbit is getting chased by, I don't know, whoever the baddie is in Peter Rabbit. And my nephew, Zeffy, all of a sudden jumped up on his seat. I was like, no, Peter, run! Run, Peter, run! And my brother had to go, Zeffy, remember there's other people around as well. Remember where you are. But my nephew had got so caught up in the story that he was witnessing, he'd forgotten everything else that was going on. And I thought that was a really good example, actually, of what story are we caught up in? Where do we see ourselves? Are we caught up in the story of being in Christ? Or are we living in a different story where we're actually somewhere else? But yeah, anyway.
Thank you. I love that. I love that story. You guys can keep standing there for a second. Thank you. Appreciate it. You never know what you're going to get when I come to town, right? So, okay, so the question is, what story are we living in? Okay, so now, if I was to ask you to visualize your life with God, so whether it be your, you know, living, worshiping, whatever it is, that your life with God, what is it that you see? Okay, so if I actually had you, if we had time today, to draw a picture of what it looks like you interacting with God. What would it look like? You know, stick figures or whatever. What would it look like? So I want to just tell you really quickly, you guys can keep standing here, about my friend Simone down in South Africa. For her master's project, she actually, she interviewed 300 students, and she had them write down the very thing that I just asked you Visualize, you know, and write down what it looks like, your relationship with God. Like, draw it out. Okay? What does it look like as you're worshiping? Out of 300 drawings, only 3 people did a drawing that included Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everyone else just drew a picture of God. Are you starting to see that we're not in this story? The reality of the story that we're in includes Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And our place, our position, that of course Jesus died on the cross and reconciled back to, is this relational element that is ongoing, nonstop, between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's this relational element with Leah and with you, because once we're saved, we know this, we're not just saved by ourselves, but we are saved and we're all seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ. And you notice I'm using words very specifically because this is very important, okay? But most of us are living in this story still. And I understand this because I'm like going, oh my gosh, how did I miss this? But again, it even in the generation that we're living in, like, they paint the picture of us with this reality that God is far off somewhere. And we just need to ask for these things. You know, I want the gift of peace. I want the gift of life. But wait a minute, Jesus, you are life. And I am in you and you are in me. Do you see that there's a difference between give me life and the fact of this living reality of life within this very much, this living, that, like, that's huge. Or what's another one? So peace, you know, give me the gift of peace. Give me the gift of life. Give me the gift of righteousness. But wait, you are my righteousness. You are righteousness. And this is where I am. This is where you are. This is where we are. Okay? If you can just stand there for a little minute. Okay? So let's look at our little ladder for a minute. So often I keep liking going over here. So often in this view, in this story that we're living in, we view God like at the top of the ladder. I don't know. I kind of grew up this way, you know? And our Christian life of discipleship and growth is we're climbing the ladder. But I don't know about you, like, I feel like if I mess up or if I sin, it's like I go all the way back down the ladder again and I need to start over again. The story that we're living in, there is no ladder. I can just make you go, right now, there is no ladder. Okay, we are not trying to climb a rung to get to this God that is out there. And that if we mess up, we go right back down to the beginning again, like snakes and ladders. Do you guys have that here, or is it called something different? Snakes and ladders, it's like, oh, I messed up. But I don't know about you, but I've lived that in that story for far too long. Where it's just like, Lord, I messed up again today, so I'm back down in the bottom of the rung, and I got to start climbing. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we feel like, oh, if I had an extra quiet time or if I read some scripture, then, you know, what are the certain things that make us climb the rungs, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, there's some kind of a list, right? And you'll have your own list in your head. You know, for me, it might be that I don't know, read some scripture today, and I didn't do it yesterday, so I climbed a rung, you know? It's like we have all of these things, and then we get sent back down. And he's going, wait a minute. This isn't even the story. This is the story. This is the relationship that we are in, and it's dynamic. And it's alive, and it's growing, and it's always there. And this is my reality. There's no rungs. I know. Peace. Life, righteousness, like it's in Christ. And this is where we're hidden. This is where we are. Okay, now, should I let you sit down? Yeah, go ahead. You can have a seat now. Thank you. Okay, so let's go back to the million scriptures that we read at the beginning. Okay, chapter 1. Now, I want you to just pay attention to this again. So now, hopefully, it means something a little different. The Father has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This is where we are at, okay? We are chosen. Maybe I made a spelling mistake. We are chosen us in Him. Anyways, we are in Him. We are predestined for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption. In Him we have forgiveness, which He has purposed in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. Why? Because we're here and we're not over there. We are included in Christ and in the fellowship of the Father and the Son. I love this. We are included in Him through our salvation. When we believe, you are marked in Him. In Him. Okay? Chapter 2. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. We draw our life, our very being from Him. Why? Because He's alive. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ. God shows us the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ. We were created in Christ Jesus. We were created in Him. For He Himself is our peace. We can't get any more peace than the Prince of Peace Himself, especially in these days. By setting aside in His flesh the law, He purposed to create in Himself a new humanity. In Himself, a new humanity. For through Him, we both have access to the Father by the Spirit. This is important. So we are in Christ, and we have now access again to the Father by the Spirit. We can go to the Father. You know, in Genesis 3, remember the separation? We couldn't go to the Father. We were living in this story in Genesis 3. Separated. But no. We are in Christ. Can you see them standing here still? In Christ, we can now have direct access to the Father because of Jesus and by the Spirit. How exciting. In Him, the whole building is joined together and raises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. I don't know if you wanted to hear good news this morning. This is the good news. In Him. This is how we live and move and have our being. In Him. So He is our peace. He is our righteousness. He is our life. He is life. You know, and I don't know about you today, but some days we do really need peace, especially when you hear this on the news every 5 seconds, every time we are turning around. So this is the good news. We are grafted into Christ by the Spirit, and we return to the Father. This is where you are this morning, and every morning, actually. Ephesians 3:12, through Christ and through the faithfulness of Christ, we can approach God. And it's not an approaching from way over here. It's this is where we are. Isn't that exciting? I'm almost done, but I have homework for you. If you choose to take up this challenge. This is our reality every day. This is our reality every single day. Okay, so when Paul was telling them about the good news, this is the good news. So how do we, instead of just getting information, take something to the point where we really know something and then we live it out? So how do we get to the point as His disciples to knowing and living this reality? I can tell you it's not just by listening to someone speak on this a few more times. Okay, and this is what I've been learning as I've been going through with my master's in Christian formation, is that it really does matter how we visualize, how we imagine, and it really does matter how we practice daily. Because otherwise, we are just a church that comes and hears information, but then it doesn't make a change. It doesn't make a difference. So it's nice to see one another as we come. But we also, because we're in Christ and because we're followers of Jesus, I would hope that the body of Christ would want to continue to mature so that we become more and more like him. And I'm finding the more and more, and I'm thankful that I'm starting my sabbatical, because the more and more we can become like him is to be with him and to practice certain things. And so I wanted to give you some homework. Okay, so it's a 3-week thing, and you can do it whenever. Between now and Christmas, whenever you would like, and I'm going to give you some sheets to take home so that you can't say that you didn't remember what I said. I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. But we're strengthening our spiritual muscles as his people. Okay? So week one, very simple. You're going to go do the study now that I did for you up on the board. But it's the whole book of Ephesians. And it doesn't take that long, actually, to go through the whole book of Ephesians. And you can underline. So week one is underline everywhere that you see in, by, or with Christ, or for Christ, or in him, or whatever it is. And any of the ins, all of that, you're underlining all the way through Ephesians. Okay? It's hard to see up here. I should just use yellow. I need to remember that. So it says, now, as you're going along, so remember, this is a whole week's worth of work, or you could even do it over 2 weeks. You want to pause every now and again when you see in Christ and try to visualize it. Okay? And some of you might even want to try to draw it. You can use stick people if you want. But try to draw, what does it look like that we are in him, or whatever the verse is saying, so you can draw it. Okay? And then when you get to the end, ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation just about this reality of you being in Christ. Okay? So that's week one. Yeah? Week two. Okay? So read through the book of Ephesians again. And you're just going to notice everywhere that you wrote in, or, you know, underlined, all the underlinings you're noticing. And then I want you to transfer it onto one piece of paper, okay? Everything, the in Christ, the by Christ, the for Christ, the with Christ, all of that goes in on one piece of paper, and then read it over again. Okay, now, this time, spend some time praising God for what he has done for you in Christ. Okay, so you're going to just praise God however you want, worship him, and ask Holy Spirit for that week to empower you to live this out. Okay, so that's week two. Or you could do it over a month, it's all good. Week three would be now to invite a friend or a group of people over for tea. Ah, doesn't that capture your attention? As long as it's not more than 250 people, you're good. No, I'm kidding. All right, so invite people over for a meal or for tea, and I want you to have a conversation. I want you to tell them about some things that you have learned about what you've just done in the book of Ephesians. What is some revelation that you received, or what stood out to you, or anything like that. So it's just a discussion. And then you'll break bread together, have communion together. And as we know, communion, it's we are saved into Christ by ourselves, but we are now, part of his body. And so it's just, I think it's important to then just pray for one another in light of what you've shared. You know, ask God to strengthen us. Ask Holy Spirit to empower us to live this in Christ reality each and every day. And so, see, that's not too hard. It's not too hard if you choose to take on this challenge. And pray for one another as the Spirit leads. And encourage one another. You might even decide to do this as a life group or whatever, as your home groups. I'll leave it with you, okay? So what have we seen this morning? We have seen that we are grafted into Christ by the Spirit, and we have full access to the Father at all times. Okay, and I want to end just with this quote, and then I'm going to pray for you, and then I think you're going to pray for me. Let me see if I can find it. I love this. One of the theologians that I've been studying a little bit, her name's Julie Canlis, and she says, Jesus does not bear witness to what God has done. He is what God has done. This is what he's done for us. And this is our reality. So, Lord, would you continue to grow us up as your people into maturity and to be more like you? Our desire is to be Christ-like, and our desire is to not live far away when the reality is that we are so close and we are in you. Lord, help us to, when we think that we're climbing a rung, to remember the picture that we are actually invited into the fellowship. We're not far away on a ladder climbing. Lord, would you help us each time that we feel like we've fallen short to remember this reality, that it would become not just a visual or an imagination of ours, but it would become a true reality that we live out of this place of being in you. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would you help my friends in the coming days to live out this reality with you and with one another, that we would be an encouragement to one another, that we would really kind of spur one another on to become all that we can be in Christ. For the sake of your world, Jesus, for the sake of your world. And we thank you for what we have in you. And I just ask that you would deepen that for each one of us this year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.